His contributions and impact in gospel music have already been felt around the world at such a young age. Joseph Habedank is now solo with the project Welcome Home, His Music and Story.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
With a project titled Welcome Home, we welcome this sensational voice and what a personality in gospel music that is back on the scene. Not that he went anywhere that long, but I'm telling you, he's a beloved individual. It's Joseph Habedank. Yeah, funny name, but I'm telling you, the music that comes out of this guy is so solid. Joseph, it's good to talk to you, and welcome here with Welcome Home.
Man, thank you so much, Daniel. It's good to be back. I know we did a thing a few years ago with talking about my songwriting, and that's probably been a couple, two, 3 years, and I just love doing your show, and got such great feedback. A lot of people love Daniel Britt and Friends, and I'm one of those people, so thanks for having me.
You're kind. Hey, let me say, whenever you hear the term singer-songwriter Joseph Habedank, does your mind ever go back to being just a kid and thinking, wow, they've actually started calling me that?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, because I never really dreamed of being the soloist. I always just thought I would be with a group. So I guess it's not really something that I dreamed of. But when I started my solo ministry, that's kind of what I wanted to be. I mean, I looked at people in other genres of music, and it's so driven by the singer-songwriter soloist. And yet we don't have a whole lot of that in Southern outside of Mark Bishop and Squire Parsons and a few others. But most of the soloists in Southern gospel music aren't really singer-songwriters. You look at Ivan Parker and Jason Crabb and Guy Penrod and people like that who don't particularly write their own stuff. And it's something that I kind of just wanted to bring to the table. And so to think that I had dreamed of this, I honestly hadn't. But God has such a great sense of humor, and he knows exactly what he's doing. He's got a perfect plan, and I'm really grateful for it.
Well, we always joke, and anybody that's married knows these jokes, and I don't know if they get tired of them or not, but, you know, behind every successful man is a wonderful woman. And so let's talk a minute about Lindsay and her role, either in just helping you with this project, or was she a filter that you passed all these songs through? Is she in the liner credits anywhere?
You know, she was originally supposed to sing a song on the album as a solo, and ended up not working out that way. But to say that she was influential in the song process would be an extreme understatement. I mean, she absolutely was just an amazing sounding board. And I would come home from these sessions, and I can remember one night in particular, I was up until probably 10 p.m. writing south of Nashville in Franklin, Tennessee, with a guy named Michael Farron. And I came home and I said, I'm telling you, this song is going to be worth me getting home this late. I really believe in it, and I can't wait to send it to you. So I sent it to her as soon as we had finished a little demo on it that day. And the song ended up being Big Enough, which is just one of the most powerful songs in the album, I feel like. And it's funny because I would take a song to her that I absolutely loved, and she'd be like, you know, that's good, but it's not as good as this one, or it's not as good as that one. And so that kind of helped me. And so she was just such an influential part. And a lot of you know my story, know that this was a blood, sweat, and tears kind of album. So we both really, it was a labor of love, and so much heart, so much soul, so much of my blood is in this album. And I'm so passionate about it. I'm so excited about the doors that the Lord has opened and is continuing to open. And Lindsay has been such a vital part of all of that.
Joseph Habedank, and you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. More of our conversation still to come right here.
I've got a heart that's full of faith-filled helplessness. There are mountains ahead that I can't move by myself. But I know when I'm weak, He's strong when I can barely breathe. There's still a song, even though it's hard right now. I'm not here on my own. So when it seems it can't be done, I know God is big enough. I can run the race I'm called to run, 'cause I know God is big enough. He'll finish everything He starts. He'll meet us right here where we are. I can feel faith rising up. I know God is big enough. Oh, yeah, He's big enough. Yeah. On the days that the shadows of doubt make me feel small, I declare that I don't stand in my strength at all. I won't live a day you didn't plan. Every single moment is in your hands. Even if the whole world shakes, you're the rock on which I stand. So when it seems it can't be done, I know God is big enough. I can run the race I'm called to run, 'cause I know God is big enough. Everything starts. He'll meet us right here where we are. I can feel faith rising up. I know God is big enough. Bigger than the fear that surrounds me. Bigger than the chains that have bound me. Bigger than the story my past could tell. I know God is big enough. I can run the race I'm called to run, 'cause I know God is big enough. He'll finish everything He starts. He'll meet us right here where we are. I can feel faith rising up.
Talking to Joseph Habedank, and a brand new project is out. In fact, this would be your first solo release. Is that accurate?
It is my first mainline release with Daywind Records, and I've got to give a shout out to everyone at Daywind who has been such an amazing part of this process and has absolutely just taken a huge chance on me. You know,
yeah,
a lot of people thought that I should have started a group. But I just didn't have peace about it. And even Daywind came to be like, yeah, you should start a group. You should start a group. And I just thought, you know, there's a part of me that would love to do that. But I just know that I am supposed to go share my music as a soloist as much as I didn't want to. And there was a part of me that was terrified of the whole thing. And yet God just said, you know what, you'll never be alone. I'll be with you. Go do it. And this album is the first of hopefully many that the Lord will allow us to put out in this journey. But just love this record. I love what it says. I love the hope that it brings to people.
So whenever you get out from maybe the comfort of a group, and of course you were the Perrys for so many years, and you have that teamwork, that harmony that goes on, now you're on a platform and it's just Joseph in a sense. So, I mean, what is your biggest fear, either with moving to releasing a project that's just you, or when it comes to pulling up to a venue and stepping out, everything set up, just waiting for the people to show up? What's the biggest moment of anticipation you have?
Well, I think the biggest fear is, like most people, is rejection and not being accepted as a soloist. You know, I've had some people that have just been extremely, extremely kind and said things that made me feel like, you know what, this is right. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. But there are always times that you wonder and you sit back and you think, okay, God, this is what you told me to do. But there's only, you know, 50, 100 people here tonight. So am I doing the right thing? And it's as if the Lord says, you know what, be faithful in the small things and I'll make you ruler of much. And it's that thing. And knowing where I've come from, just to be grateful for the little things and to be grateful for everything that the Lord gives. And, but you know, I think the biggest fear is not being accepted as a soloist or not being maybe understood, and communication is a huge thing when it comes to a soloist. If you can't communicate to that crowd, if you can't tell them something that they're going to remember, you're going to lose them. And that's a great thing about a group. You've got so many different personalities on stage that you can draw energy from. And yet, when it's a soloist, it's just you. And you really have to carry a heavy load. I was talking to Jason Crabb the other night about it on TVN, and he kind of mentioned the same thing. He was terrified at first to being a soloist. And Jason Crabb is just amazing. You know, nobody would ever think that. But it is. It's a terrifying thing to get up there. And it's just all you. And it's kind of like, you know, if they don't like you, it's on you. You can't blame it on the other guys. You know,
it's
all on you. And so that's always scary. But on the flip side of that, man, I get so excited. We are recording this on a Thursday, and I get so excited this time of the week because I know the weekend's coming, and I get to hop in my little Jeep Cherokee with my pretty wife, and we get to travel all across this country. I mean, we've been to Canada. We've been to Philadelphia this year. We've been to New York City. We've been to Connecticut. We've been to Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Michigan, Ohio, Indiana. I mean, just so many different awesome places. And this weekend we're going to Chattanooga and then to Atlanta and then to Greenville, South Carolina. So just so many great, great opportunities that the Lord has given me now that it's honestly the fear has subsided. And I'm just so grateful for the opportunities.
I walked by the tomb of Buddha, looked inside and saw his bones, traveled on to see Muhammad, still wrapped up in his grave clothes. Then I journeyed to a garden where old Joseph left him laid, the precious lamb, God's own begotten, was no longer in that grave.
If you knew him like I know him, you would know that he's alive. If you felt him like I feel him,
resurrection deep inside, if you're wandering in the darkness, come and step into the light. nail-scarred hands reach out to help you, to pull you safe from death to life. Friend, I too have stood where you stand. Could I trust in things unseen? Just one step in His direction, then in love He ran to me.
If you knew Him like I know,
this is Daniel Britton, friends.
You can't seem to hide the hurt written on your face. You're broken inside, longing for love's embrace. It might be a while before you smile, I know, 'cause I fought that fight. And weeping may endure for a night, but it's almost morning. Joy will replace the tears, calm all your darkest fears. It won't be long till the dawn. Tomorrow's another day to live free of all your pain. So don't give up on your faith, 'cause it's almost morning. I've been where you are, I've had my heart break too. I've cried in the dark, I can relate with you. I have prayed to see the sun break free while the storm's still inside. So when your darkness consumes the guiding light, remember it's almost morning. Joy will replace the tears, calm all your darkest fears. It won't be long till the dawn. Tomorrow's another day to live free of all your pain. So don't give up on your faith, 'cause it's almost morning. It's almost morning. Darkest fears. 'cause it's almost morning. No, don't give up on your faith. 'Cause it's almost morning.
Joseph Habedank featured with those particular cuts from The Perrys, If You Knew Him, and Almost Morning. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Joseph Habedank is my guest, as we're featuring mostly music from the new project, Welcome Home. A couple of exceptions there, classics of its time from The Perrys. But the conversation picks up here.
Are you an old soul? You know what that term means? Have you ever been called that?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I think it comes from being from a single parent household. My dad and mom split up when I was young.
Yeah.
And I had two brothers underneath me. And I remember my papa coming to me and saying, you know, you're 3 years old, but you're pretty much the man of the house now. And he basically had that talk with me. So I think I had to grow up a little quicker than most kids. And so, yeah, I would definitely think I'm an old soul. I love, you know, I love coffee and I love reading the newspaper, and I love just being, I kind of feel like an old person in a way. Like, yeah. One of my favorite things in the world is to sit down in my chair and to watch Wheel of Fortune or Jeopardy. You know, so I guess, yes, that would qualify me as an old soul.
So do you find then that the big dilemma with that kind of, because I think I'm that personality too, is that, you know, you have ideas and you think, you know, hey, we can say this because we are, but we think maybe sometimes in different ways. I don't want to sort of say deeper because that sounds arrogant, but we think in different ways. And so therefore, we want to communicate on a certain level with people who are older than us. But yet they're looking at these kids and they're like, What do you know? You haven't lived long enough or sinned big enough to have an opinion, so sit down. You know, so it's like you're feeling that way, like you're going to get on a platform and you really are heartfelt about it. But sometimes people may cross their arms and say, what's this kid know about this stuff?
Yeah, and they kind of give you the look of, what are you going to tell me that I don't already know?
Yeah.
You know, and I totally get that. I understand that. And the biggest thing I think in that moment, in those sort of moments, is just to be as real as you can possibly be. And just to say exactly what the Lord would have you say, to say what's on your heart, and just to be a real person. One of the things my brother, my baby brother, taught me, believe it or not, he said, you know what? I can't be perfect, but I can be real. Yeah. And that's the biggest thing. And these elderly people, you know, it is scary to look at us sometimes. And maybe one of them is smiling and another one has a scowl on their face and the other one maybe has their hands in their ears because it's too loud or, you know, whatever it may be. So there's always challenges. But the biggest thing for me is to learn to love people and meet them where they are. And regardless of whether they agree with my philosophies and my theories and my opinions, it's important just to be you and to not try to be someone you're not. Because I did that for a lot of years. You know, I wanted everybody to think that I was this cool guy that, and I wanted everybody to like me, and I wanted to dress a certain way and act a certain way, and it ended up getting me in a lot of trouble because we just weren't put on this earth to please everyone. And we just weren't put on this earth to be perfect. We were put on this earth to be who we are. And God created me to be me. And finding who I am in Christ was one of the biggest challenges of my life. But I'm so grateful for the journey that God brought me through to say, hey, you don't have to be all things to all people. You be a good husband. You be a good man. You be a good Christian. And everything else will fall into place. Because you know what? Not everybody's going to like you. And one of the biggest things for me to remember when I'm standing up there is saying, there's somebody out there who doesn't like me, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. But I just want to sing about Jesus. I'm so grateful for the opportunity, and that's about all I can do, really.
You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends with Joseph Habedank, listening to great music from Welcome Home.
I ain't scared of a little bit of thunder. I ain't scared of what the headlines say. These dark days that we're living under shake me hard, but I won't lose faith. God is good, He is faithful, and I am in His care. And I ain't scared, ain't scared, no, I ain't scared of a little bit of thunder.
little bit of thunder, thunder, thunder. Have a little bit of thunder, thunder, thunder. Can't you feel a storm is a coming? Can't you feel it a rumbling now? Any house not built on Jesus surely gonna come a tumbling down. I ain't scared of a little bit of thunder. I ain't scared of what the headlines say. These dark days that we're living under shake me hard, but I won't lose faith. 'Cause God is good, He is faithful, and I am in His care. And I ain't scared, ain't scared, no, I ain't scared. My first rough season, this is not my first mean storm. I have ridden out some troubles, so I don't fear the weather no more, no more. I ain't scared of a little bit of thunder. I ain't scared of what the headlines say. These dark days that we're living under shake me hard, but I won't lose faith. 'Cause God is good, He is faithful, I am in His care. And I ain't scared, ain't scared, ain't scared now.
Where's the name Habedank come from? Is that is it European or do you know?
It's German, actually. Yeah. And in Germany, they pronounce it Habdank. And Hab means have. And Danke is thank you, which and Dank would be thanks. So have thanks is what my name actually means. And Habdank is how they say it in Germany. As I said, it's a very popular name over in Germany.
Wow.
So, yeah. But I've yet to meet one American or someone that lives in the United States of America who has the same last name as me. And I've been on this earth for 28 years. It's pretty remarkable. Outside of my family, of course. But outside of my family, not met anybody with the same last name. Pretty crazy.
But we're pronouncing it, I guess, the way you're used to, right? Habedank?
Habedank, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's the way. In fact, Daniel, I've got to give you kudos because a lot of people cannot even pronounce it the American way, much less the German way. So thank you for not. A lot of people want to put an R in there, Habedank. And before it didn't really matter because, you know, I was with a group and so it was make welcome to Perry's. But now you got a pastor up there trying to pronounce my last name. It's so funny to watch these pastors because some of them will just be like, well, please make welcome Brother Joseph. And they just won't even go there. You know, they're not even going to try to attempt it.
Yeah.
So it's quite comical.
Joseph Habedank, the project is Welcome Home. And from track one, I knew I was going to like it. But I have to be honest, track one wasn't the first cut I heard. I think I heard, I think Big Enough, or I definitely know I heard When the Lights Go Down. I heard a couple of those before I heard Welcome Home. But I have to say, when Welcome Home, when you pop it in your CD player or you download it off iTunes and not even the first verse is finished, it's just this, it sets the pace for the project. So I loved it from the get-go.
Well, thanks. One of the biggest things, it was kind of an accident how we wrote Welcome Home. Kind of sat down one day and we wanted to write something up. I knew I needed some more fast stuff from my record. So I sat down with Michael Farron, who I was talking about earlier, who's actually a contemporary Christian writer. And I sat down with Kenna West, who is a Southern gospel writer. Actually, she writes everything. She's just an amazing writer. But sat down with them and we wanted to write something fast. And end up, they were kind of saying, like, what would you say? I think it was Kenna's idea. Hey, let's write an opener. She said, what would you say to a group of people, what was the first thing that you want to say? And we sat there and kind of tossed around ideas. And finally, I went back to a church that I used to attend, and their slogan was "Welcome Home." And I thought, man, what a great thing to say to a crowd of people as the first thing. Hey, you know what? Doesn't matter how long it's been since you've been to church. It doesn't matter how long it's been since we've seen each other. This is the house of God, and this is home.
Yeah.
So welcome. Thanks for coming. It's so good to see you. It's been way too long. And Ricky Free just absolutely arranged such an incredible and cool track. And I've got to confess that both Ricky and I are children of the 80s. And there was a little bit of 80s music, 80s vibe that got into this this song with that old Chicago stuff. And just we kind of let that bleed through. But man, I love this song. Love love the message in it.
Just look around at all the smiles on the faces all over the place. There's nowhere better to be than surrounded by your brothers and sisters. What a beautiful picture of God's family. Well, it might have been weeks, it might have been years. Oh, I'm just glad that you're here. It's so good to see. It's been way too long. So glad that you made it. Welcome home. There's no doubt about it. You're where you belong. There's always a place here. Welcome home. From the moment that you walk through the front door, you know that the good Lord, He was already here. Can you feel it now? The anticipation. A hallelujah celebration starting in here. It's so good to see ya. It's been way too long. So glad that you made it. Welcome home. There's no doubt about it. You're where you belong. There's always a place here. Welcome home. So pull up to the table. Everybody gather round. The Father's calling all His children, and His glory's coming down. It's so good to see ya. It's been way too long. So glad that you made it. Welcome home. There's no doubt about it. You're where you belong. There's always a place here. Welcome home. There's no doubt about it. You're where you belong. There's always a place.
Habedank and Welcome Home is the project. You mentioned a moment ago about Michael Farren, Kenna Turner West. These are some wonderful songwriters that not everybody may recognize their name, but they would certainly recognize the songs they contributed. But you're in a room, Joseph, as a singer-songwriter. So on the songwriting, when you're wearing your songwriting hat and you're doing songwriting with a team, take us into that room. Is it similar to maybe going to a construction zone where you're going to have someone who's like the foreman? They're going to be kind of making sure everybody's doing their part and kind of giving some leadership, or going to a kitchen and you have maybe a head chef who's giving some guidance. It sounded like, at least with the song Welcome Home, Kenna was prompting you with ideas of what would you say to a group of people if you just met them. So is that the role of one particular songwriter in a group of songwriters?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's a great question, because I was thinking the other day, I was writing with Sue Smith and Tony Wood, who are two of my absolute favorite, not just songwriters, but two of my favorite people in the world. And we sat down this week or last week to write. And Sue said, you know, the biggest thing about songwriting, and I think that she had heard someone else say this, she said, is to know your role. And for me, when I go into the room, my role is to tell them, hey guys, this is what I want to say on my record. I feel very comfortable with the melody sense that I have, so I'll give a lot of input. In fact, most of my album, I probably wrote the melody on almost all the songs on the album, along with some of the lyrics, but mostly I'm very much a melody guy. In my earlier years, I would write a lot more lyric because of Matthew Holt. I wrote a lot with Matthew Holt, and Matthew, of course, is a piano player, so of course he's going to feed the music stuff. Yeah. And whereas I was trying to throw in the lyrics, and I've learned to switch roles now that I'm with lyricists like Tony Wood and Sue Smith, who are so much better than me in that regard. And so it's about knowing your role. I mean, it is so much that. And for instance, when I'm in a room with Kenna, I know Kenna is going to dominate a lot of the session because she is very much a strong personality. And even though I am too, she is much more talkative than me. And so it's important for me in that moment to be a listener and to follow her and to trust her instincts. And a lot of songwriting is about trusting the other songwriter's instinct. And that's why it's so important to write with people that you believe in, because if you don't, it's going to be really hard for you to trust their instincts and for them to say, you know what, I don't know if I like what this is saying here. I don't know if I can relate with that. I don't know if it'll really jive with the audience. So if someone says that and you don't really believe in their craft or believe in how good at what they're doing, it's hard to follow them down that road. And so it's really important to surround yourself, or for me, to surround myself with writers who are not only great writers, but people that I believe in and people that are better than me. And one of the best lessons I ever learned was from Wayne Hahn in that regard. And he said, if you want to be a good songwriter, write with people that are better than you. And I have made a pretty pretty decent career at just surrounding myself with people who are better than me and trying to learn from them and trying to glean wisdom from them. And so that's what it is for me, just to be a good listener and to learn.
Which song on this project underwent the most surgery? It had like 80,000 revisions, and you scratched this and went back and scribbled through that. Is there one that took the most work in writing?
The first one that comes to mind that probably took a lot of work was Wonders with Water, because we had started, I came in the room with Tony and Sue and said, hey, I want to write a song about water. I've got these two lines. I knew they needed a little tweaking, but the two lines were, I've read he can walk on the water and then turn it to wine. And kind of did a little, kind of the fix up. But it took Tony and Sue a long time to get on board with this, because, I mean, how are you going to write a song about only about water and then make it spiritual? And so we sat down and we tackled the chorus. First of all, got some great lines in the chorus about he's the God who works wonders with water. It's crystal clear. He's the Galilee calmer, the Red Sea parter. And I won't give away the hook, but the hook is so neat. And so I love how Tony and Sue kind of twisted that. And then we really took it to a really cool musical place. But we wrote the chorus. I left that day because the other two had other sessions they had to get to. And Tony called me and said, hey, I just came up with this bridge. So he sang the bridge to me, or didn't even sing, quoted the lines to me, and I wrote the melody to him. And then we came back the third time and wrote the verses. So typically you write a song in one day. You'll start at 10 a.m. and you'll finish around 2 p.m. Sometimes you'll go into maybe 4 and 5 p.m., but take a little lunch break. But this song was at least a month or more that we kind of had to dissect. And if you listen to the song, it's very much lyrically, it's constructed very complicated, but we tried to make it as simple as we could for the listener. And but I love this song. I love how different and unique it is. And I would say that's probably the most work that we put into any lyric and or song on the album.
He tells the rain when and where to fall, and he holds back the tides. He's the God who works wonders with water. It's crystal clear. He's the Galilee calmer, the Red Sea parter.
piece of rainbow to tell me that I'm safe in the storm. And if I drink from the fountain of life, I won't thirst anymore. He's the God who works wonders with water. It's crystal clear. He's the Galilee comer, the Red Sea parter. In his hands miracles appear. So wait and see the wonders he can do with your tears. 'Cause our tears cry out that we've come to the end of ourselves. We have no strength on our own and we need his help. Oh, that's a prayer he's glad to answer. There are great things that we find when we bring to him those heartaches in the corners of our eyes. He's the God who works wonders with water. It's crystal clear. He's the Galilee comer, the Red
Habedank. The project is Welcome Home. Hey, you're listening to great conversation and music with Joseph right here on Daniel Britt and Friends. I'm looking at Johnny Cash's to-do list, and this is a funny thing, but it's made the rounds. You may have seen it before, but I have somewhere where I'm going with this. His to-do list is not smoke, kiss June, not kiss anyone else, cough, pee, eat, not eat too much, worry, go see mama, and practice the piano. Now, that would be Johnny Cash's to-do list. But as we look at what makes for a successful person, a lot of people would say it's having a morning routine. And I like this question because we all seem to have some variance in the way we start our day. So how does Joseph Habedank start his day?
Well, the first thing I do is I do get up and, for instance, this morning, Lindsay gets up a little before me, and the first thing I do is grab my phone, and I've usually got several texts and emails and some Facebook notifications and Twitter notifications, and I try to read through all of those. I used to try to respond to everyone, and I don't do that anymore. I was talking earlier about trying to not be all things to all people. I had to learn it's okay not to respond to everybody as long as you're not rude. And so I had to learn that lesson the hard way. But the first thing I do is check my phone, probably like most Americans today.
Yeah.
And another thing that I do is like this morning, Lindsay came in and kind of hopped in bed, and she had a cup of coffee, so she had to be careful. But and I just kind of hugged her and kissed her. And we are very goofy in the sense that we like to goof off a lot, and we act like a bunch of kids. And we really are kids. We're just in our 20s, so we're allowed to, I guess, still act like children in that way. Yeah. And it's good for me. One of the things when I married Lindsay, my mom said is she said that because you're such an old soul and Lindsay is so endearing, you all will make a perfect couple because she will keep you young. And that's one thing I love about Lindsay. She really has kept me young. And then I pretty much get out of bed, and I honestly, a lot of people shower, and this is going to freak a lot of people out. I don't, and I'll tell you why. Because when I get up, I go and run errands, and as soon as I'm done with errands, I go straight to the gym and I work out. And I like to shower, you know, after I work out. And so like for instance, today I just finished my errands, went to the dry cleaners, went to Target, got some air filters, and then after I did an interview before this with a guy in Alabama, and then after this I'll go straight to the gym and I'll go run on the elliptical there for about 5 miles, and then I'll go home and I'll shower and I'll spend the evening with Lindsay. So that, I guess that's more of a afternoon and evening routine.
Well, you're a gospel singer.
Because I'm a Christian music artist, we don't have morning routines. Our morning routine is sleeping. But like yesterday, we've been in the studio laying down some piano tracks for a hymns album that I'm doing, and it'll be out in a few months. And it's just piano and me, and very simple. But because of that, I've been getting up earlier, 8, 9 a.m. And I get into the studio. So it really all varies. As much as I would love to say that I had the same routine and the same things that I do every day, it all varies, honestly.
You sing typically at night in concerts, with the exception of some Sunday morning stuff, which you may dread. I think some singers do kind of dread the early morning singing. But when is your best time to sing, whether it's in the studio or if you could just pick a time out of the day to do a concert at a random time, what would that be?
Honestly, the later the better for me. Yeah. My voice seems to get a little more woken up, even more so at evening. Like, for instance, going on at 9 p.m., 10 p.m. is when I feel like I do. It's the most easy for me vocally. Hmm. But it was funny. I started noticing several years, like I was in the studio doing some demo work for Daywind, and I noticed that we went and had lunch at Cheddar's or something, and I had a good meal, I had a steak or something, and Rick Shelton, who's the creative director over there at Daywind, had paid for my lunch, and we got back to the studio, and I sang, and it was one of the best vocal sessions that I ever had. I mean, I just felt it was really easy for me, and so I learned that actually, if I eat something, especially when I'm in the studio, if I eat something, I always sing better after lunch. And I don't know why that is.
Interesting.
I guess maybe on a full stomach. But now when it comes to singing live, I don't often eat before I sing, because a lot of the reason is I don't want to feel bloated, mm-hmm. and I want to be able to breathe. A lot of it's breathing and all that stuff. But it again, just varies on the different thing. But the later, the better for me.
Joseph Habedank, it's Daniel Britt and Friends, taking a break from the Welcome Home Project. This is a song that Joseph had a hand in making popular. As a writer, The Kingsman, he's everything I need.
Weary, downtrodden believer, I know the burden reliever. He is the sinless redeemer, he's my best friend. I met him on bended knee. Met me at Calvary, underneath an old rugged tree. That's where I've been. Now he dries every tear I cry. He answers when I ask why. He's every single little thing I need. He is faithful down to the end. He's closer than a brother's been. When I think about all Ryan. Mountains were made for climbing. The one who walks beside me will stand by you. I've never known him to fail. He's conquered both death and hell. So do not doubt that he will prevail. I've seen what he can do. Now he dries every tear I cry. He answers when I ask why. Every single little thing I need. He is faithful down to the end. He's closer than a brother's been. When I think about all he is, that's all I need. Now he derides every tear I cry. He answers when I ask why. He's every single little thing. Than a brother's been. When I think about all he is, that's all I need. Now he dries every tear I cry. He answers when I ask why. He's every single little thing I need. He is faithful down to the end. He's closer than a brother's been. When I think about all he is, that's all I need.
everything I need.
So Joseph Habedank, and welcome home. As you reach out to people with this message and this music, what's been the biggest thing that you've been able to use this new platform with, as far as connecting with people who are hurting and identifying with their struggles? Do you find that they latch on to a particular song or a particular story that you have?
Well, I think the whole album kind of speaks hope. And that's one of the things I wanted to do. Was I had spent so much of my life being so self-involved and so selfish and so almost self-righteous. And I learned that, you know, life is not all about me. In fact, it's so much bigger than me. And I'm okay with that now. And one of the things, the biggest reason I started my solo ministry is because I just wanted to help people. And I don't mean that in an arrogant way, thinking that I can do something that other people can't. But I just wanted to reach out to people. For those of you who know my story, my wife and I have walked through probably the darkest time of our lives in the last couple of years. And when I came out of that, I just thought, you know what? I just want to help other people, whether they've had the same stuff as me or not. I just want to let them know that there is peace and there is hope and there's forgiveness and there's grace and there's mercy and whatever you need. Jesus has a whole lot of it, and he is so capable. He is so able to fix whatever problems we have. And there are songs on my album like Big Enough that will let people know that it doesn't matter what you're facing. God is bigger. He can do it. And there's songs like The Beauty of the Blood that says no matter what you've done in your past, whether you've got a young girl who maybe made a big mistake of terminating a birth, or maybe it's a dad or a husband that's fallen, that's maybe committed adultery or whatever it may be. Jesus already paid for that. And that doesn't mean, that doesn't give us a license to sin, nor does it say that it's okay that we take advantage of the blood of Jesus at every avenue, but rather is to let us know that for what we've done in our past, it's been paid for. In fact, it's been paid for over 2,000 years. And I feel like this album just lets people know it's okay to be you, because I love the new song that Laura Story has out, God, Please Be God. I'll be me and you be God, and I'll just be me. Please be God so I can just be me. And I love that. I love what that says. If we think about that, it's so important for us to realize that we aren't perfect. We aren't perfect, but Jesus is. And he didn't create us to be perfect. He knew, the Lord knew Adam and Eve would fall. And I remember thinking as a young child, why would God create Adam and Eve if he knows everything? Because if he knew everything, then he knew they were going to fall. He knew they were going to fall in the garden. He knew they would sin. Why would he create them? And I began to think, if they had never fallen, there would never be grace.
Yeah.
And if God wasn't a gracious God, he wouldn't be God if it wasn't for grace. And so it all makes sense to me in the fact that he is a gracious Savior. And if it wasn't for that, we would all be in such a worse place. And I'm so grateful for the grace and mercy of Jesus and everything that he's been to me and he's shown to me in the last year. He is everything. For anyone who's listening that's having a tough day or a tough time, he is everything he claims to be and so much more. You can believe that. You can claim that.
I have known him in the best of times, when every day was nothing but sunshine, and his blessings were my daily bread. It was true, I knew him then, and yet now I know him as my shelter in the rain. Yes, now I know him as my shepherd through the pain. He is dear when life is easy, but in heartache so much more. And now I know him like I never had before. If my faith had not been tested by the flames, how could I have known these depths of grace? 'Cause what is trust until it's proven true? When I see the valleys he has brought me through, now I know him as my shelter in the rain. Yes, now I know as my shepherd through the pain. He is dear when life is easy, but in heartache so much more. And now I know him like I never have before. Now I know him like I never had before. Oh, like I never have before. Now I know him.
Joseph Habedank, my friend and yours, and the project is Welcome Home. We're going to put a bookmark right here in this particular program and come back next time with part two of more of Joseph's story and music. Welcome home, Joseph Habedank. See you back here next time.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.